Just a couple of quick ha'aros before we finish up. The first of all, regarding the Tashbetz, I wanted to highlight a line in the text here. So it's again, it's Chelek Gimel Reish Ayin Zayin, and you know, here's where he speaks about the question of Kiddush HaChodesh, as we discussed, and you know, has the suggestion that Moshe and Aaron, you know, are krovim, and therefore, of course, are psulim. And he has his own suggestion about, you know, where we get the gimel, the dayanim for Kiddush HaChodesh from. But as we already discussed, the context of this tshuva is the idea of, you know, whether dayanim krovim, whether there's a din of batla mitzvah or batla kula in this particular context. Thank you. So we're going to be pursuing that issue more fully as we go forward. Robbie and I were discussing it actually yesterday after this year. It certainly is possible to be mechalek between different cases of din in theory. We were talking about Av and Bno, right? So we'll get back to that. We're going to discuss that sugya at greater length, but it is relevant to us now because one of the things that we were suggesting, you know, both when we talked about the Ksos and Mishlo Melech, and of course yesterday, was that whether or not how Bezin works, whether they work as an integrated unit in which there are no individuals, or only as individuals, and if so, as three or as two, and the three is just there to make sure that you have the two, or whether there are two dinim, in other words, as a unit and some individual dayanim. These are obviously very important, objective questions, but they impact a whole bunch of things. And one of the things that they certainly impact, as we already noted, is the question of batla mitzasa, batla kula. Again, the paradigm of batla mitzasa, batla kula, as we know, are kite edim, about which we say trei kamei mea ketrei. And, you know, where too you have a similar question, whether there are, is there such a thing as edim, right? The very fact that edachot is mechayev shvua is obviously part of that discussion, but we're not sure how significant that is, and whether that's midin half of edus or it's really midin edachot, and then whether edus is like double edachots or two edachots. You know, but of course, you know, that notwithstanding, the bigger picture is that Trei Kamei Mea Ketrei is, you know, highlights the Chefsa Shalkat. And that's why we don't care about the numbers. It can be, you know, a zillion, you know, to two, and it's still, again, notwithstanding that the Ramban Ala Torah says, you know, that the more the better. He doesn't say the merrier, but he does say the more the better. But the more the better still doesn't change the equation of Trei Kamei Mea Ketrei. So this paradigm is very important for dayanim. So the more we say that dayanim, well, let me say it this way. To say batla mitzasa, batla kula, you always need a mitzarif. And I guess there can be still two types of mitzarifim. One is the mitzarif, which doesn't disregard individual contribution, but says you need these people to be working, you know, together. And they are mitzurav still, because you need that number. Then one is able to, let's say, infect the other, you know, because of the close, proximate, you know, legal working conditions that links them together. But certainly, it's even easier to explain batla mitzasa batla kula if you have the kat type mentality, because then it isn't even that one is infecting the other. The point really is that there's an infection, you know, in the kat. So, you know, you don't even need to, to concern yourself with the method of transmission. I'm only obviously using this as a mashal. So the more we consider the Bezdin as a yechidah, as a unit, and there's a psul in the unit, and just like an Adim, the more that is. So then the question of whether or not different Batei Dinim maybe work differently, whether it's, Bezdin Shel Shivin, Bezdin of Chaf Gimel, Bezdin Shel Gimel, right, which we can understand, you know, might be an important place to draw the line. Or whether we're talking about, you know, hachra'a-type cases, or dine Torah, in other words, as opposed to Maisa Bezdins. And then you could maybe debate which one is more unit-oriented and which one is more individual dayanim-oriented. But certainly the possibility that we distinguish between them is very real. And therefore, it might, in theory, impact on the question of batla mitzasa, batla kula, correct? So that's something we have to keep our eye open for, and we'll talk about the sugya of Abu Ben, just make sure that I do. But more just, you know, directly, since we talked about this Tashbetz, I was looking again at the language, and I made this diuk, I say I wrote it on the side of my Tashbetz a long time ago, that if you, Tashbetz quotes Yerushalmi about Batla Muktasa and Batla Kula, Yerushalmi Mefurash, Minayin Shiloyu Adayonim, Krovim Zela Zeh, Amra Torah, and then he says the following. Is it up on the board? Mm-hmm. Harog Alpi. You have an Alpi Matin or not? Where is it? Yeah. So it says, Amra Torah, this is according to Yerushalmi. It says, Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, Furish Minayin Shal Yodarin Krovim Zela Zeh, Amra Torah, Harog Alpi Matin, Harog Alpi Eden, Ma Eden Ein Krovim Zela Zeh, Afadayonim Ein Krovim Zela Zeh. So in the actual text of the Yerushalmi, it does not say, Harog Alpi Matin. At least not the, that's not the girsa that we have. So I found that to be very intriguing, and I thought that maybe this was relevant to this point. And that's because we were saying yesterday that the requirement of Bez Din Notev, and according to Reb Chaim, certainly, the din of Achrei Rabim Lahatos in Dayanim may be itself rooted in this notion that that the Bez Din works as a integrated unit. So maybe the point of the Tashbetz, or if whoever has this girsa, if you want to compare Edim and Dayanim, is to emphasize the Matim. That's number one. Number two, excuse me, in the continuation of the Tashbetz, so he has this discussion about Moshe V'Aaron, as we discussed, and so on, you know, because he's trying to figure out whether Dayanim Krovim work or not. And he says, therefore, it can't be that they were Kiddush HaChodesh either. If that were true, as we discussed, we were using that to explain, he doesn't say Bez Nota. And then he says, "V'im boshav yaron hayuk sherim l'kiddush hachodesh hakori mishpat hayinu machshirim l'shar dinim beis achim v'zei yefshar." In other words, the Tashbetz is basically weighing the possibility that maybe you should distinguish between bezin of kiddush hachodesh and other batei dinim with regard to this question of krovim, and he's basically saying it's the same halacha. And then, in the end of the piece, he says, "Ukvar amru," according to the Gemara Nivamos, right? Cholza b'shnayim o b'shlosha v'nim sechem em karva paso chalitzasa psula, right? Ulechalek bein din ze ledin kiyum bezdin dvarim b'telim heim. Okay, so he rejects it strongly. Dvarim b'telim, you know, them is, I would say, fighting words, but definitely, you know, confident words at minimum, but. As we saw, is it really so absurd to distinguish between a bezin of chalitza and a bezdin and a regular bezin, or even a bezin of kiddush hachodesh and a regular bezdin? Not necessarily, because what we're trying to show is that there seems to be, in addition to everything else, a debate whether chalitza and kiddush hachodesh really are dine bezdin, right? Or they're more like panels or representational things and so on. And especially in the case of chalitza, the idea that, you know, the presence of the Beis Din is more important even than anything that they're actually establishing or doing, right? To rali lihikaros lifnehem. So he's rejecting this. But again, if you wanted to navigate some of the evidence, and that's what we were talking about a little bit yesterday also with the Mishnah Lamelech, so we have to examine this a little more fully in light of the issues that we... discussed. Okay, so where the evidence comes from and the possibility of whether or not these are all really batei dinim or different types of batei dinim, and therefore that impacts on the question of the number versus the unit question would be a very relevant issue. And again, Avu B'no is something which go back to in Mamonos and Nefashos. So either distinctions could be Mamonos Nefashos Shivim Skenim, or between, as I say, Maisa Bezdin, Hachraos, or even panels and different types of panels as well. Okay. Obviously, that's also relevant to Nedarim, because pretty much everybody agrees that, again, the category is Rashi Matos and Yachid Mumcha, The question is, do we, and everybody seems to agree that Krovim are Ksherim when it comes to Nedarim, but again, is Nedarim in the pattern even of a Beis Din or not? Okay, that's number one. Regarding Shim's Kanim, I just wanted to make, just add to that as well. We noted already that the possibility, you know, in the Gemara that Shivim Skenim is an even number and therefore an exception. We already linked it up to our discussion of, you know, even if there's 71, maybe the Mufla, you know, doesn't vote, Tosis and Tezaino and Beis, and the whole discussion of the Netziv. We should also note that the Tosis here discusses that and weighs in on that as well. Right, Tosis here talks about if it's 71, Rabbi Huda Amar Shivim, Vahod Amar. Well, how will Rabbi Huda navigate? Not exactly the same thing, but how will Rabbi Huda navigate some of the other Gemaras, which seem to say 71? Vahod Amar Rabbi Huda Beperek Chalil Gab Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim She Ba Ayin Aleph Katadros Shel Zahav Keneged Ayin Aleph Zekenim Shel Sanhedrin Gedola. But he says 70. Hayne Mishum De Moshe Al Gabayu V'Chem Bekol Sanhedrin Gedola Haya Shem Mufla Shem Bebezdin Shelo Haya Min Acheshbo. So once again, this is this same idea that, you know, this within Rabbi Yehuda, you know, of again Moshe Rabbeinu and the, you know, what did you say? He was the conductor? Okay. and so on. So I just wanted to add to this, just, you know, very, very briefly, in light of the other things that we said. Oh, I should have brought the Gemara. Again, we talked a little bit on Mondays about the Rivav and the Ralbach, and not just on Mondays, even in the regular Shiurim, and about the need for, in Parhalim, Dover Shel Tzibur, do you need, again, we talked about it, Rov, Rov Mitoch HaKol, that are present, or maybe Rov even, only if a Miyot is Shosek, or do you need Kol? So part of that comes from the Gemara in Horios, if we could just get it on the board for a second, Gimel Amud Beis. In that Gemara, the Gemara speaks about a Bezdin of 100. Have that? The Gemara says the Horu Bezdin of 100. That's where the Gemara has the, you know, idea that the regular din of a Zinon Basarov doesn't seem to apply. And that's where you have the debate. What does that mean, A, la halacha, and B, what does it mean at all? Does it mean you really need kulam? Does it mean, you know, only shoskim are allowed? Does it mean rov mitoch hakol? You have it? Yep, sorry to spring these on you last minute. I just wanted to add this point. Thanks. So, Amrav Yonasan, mea shiyash v'lahoros, ein chayavin ad shiyoru kulon. This is where it comes from. Shenemar, right, avim kol adas yisrael yishgu ad she yishgu kulon. And again, it's, of course, as we've already noted, the whole Parham Dov Shel Tzibur issue in Torah Shebichsav, it all sounds like it's Klal Yisrael, and, you know, Torah Shebal Peh keeps saying, oh, it's Bezna Gadol, and it's a real dialectic, it's both. Okay. Anyways, and then it's on Shetiv Shot also, Horah B'chol Adas Yisrael. On Rav Huna, B'rei Rav Hoshia, Okanan Nistavra, B'chol Torah Kula Kaimel and Ruba Kekulo, B'chol Chaksiv, and that's not even also Hosin and Basar Rov, it's Ruba Kekulo, so just number one, that whole halacha that in Parhalim Dover Shel Tzibur we have a different, and again that's a debate between Mari Barav and Rabach. What is the halacha really by Parhalim Dover Shel Tzibur? And whatever it is, if it's unusual, is it also koveya with regard to the Chiddush HaSmicha? So just to note very quickly, because these are much bigger topics, so the Meiri in Sanhedrin later on, in Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph, in the Sugya of Zakein Mamre, also suggests that for somebody to be a Zakein Mamre in the full sense, you know, we'll see there are kind of lesser Zakein Mamres too, but for the full force of the law, I mean the death penalty and everything that you know, goes with it, including the Hachraza, you know, Kol Yisrael Yishmu V'Yiro V'lo Yizidu Nod, and, you know, Shaloi Kishtei Torah, the whole, you know, the severe indictment and prosecution of the Zaken Mamre. So, again, it's not so clear, but the Meiri, at least, was of the opinion that it has to be against Kol Sanhedrin, not just against Rove. And there are others who disagree. They think it's against Rove. Once again, it could be that, you know, that there's something in between those two. And that surely is, again, very interesting and very significant. That's point one, number one. Number two, where does this 100-man Sanhedrin come from? What is a 100-man Sanhedrin? What is it, number one? And number two is it's an even number. It's not an odd number. So on the first point, the Rav thought that the 100-man Sanhedrin was another iteration of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And this, I think I mentioned this earlier in the year already. Did I? Shmaya Vavtalion? You know, the Rambam, mentions in the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah that Shmaya Vavtalion, you know, were also one of the Zugos, you know, and they were Gerim. And the question is, how could a Ger be on the Sanhedrin, you know, Hagadola, since they were paskening certain shilas that a Ger cannot, Ger can be done, Chavero, Ger, you know, Dine Mominis. Most Rishonim think, it's Machlokas Rishonim, the Rosh and Balitosis and the Oksos that we discussed, and Simon Zion, assuming that he certainly could be Samoch, but still he can't be done in certain cases, so the whole thing is very problematic. So the Rav thought that this goes, you know, back to that whole idea that, you know, Bezen HaGadol serves multiple functions, and maybe in some of their functions they are actually paskening, you know, shilas, like some of the cases in the Mishnah Beis Amud Aleph, but in other cases they're like Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim, or they're the representatives of Klal Yisrael. And in those capacities, there's no problem of Geirus. And maybe that's why it could be an even number two, because they're not the real Bezin. But clearly, the Gemara does speak of the 100 as a chalos, Sanhedrin Gedola, even in the context of Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur. So, again, you might say Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur is a different kind of Din Torah. That's still possible, because the Beis Medrash question, rather than being done chavero, and that shouldn't be a problem of a ger, but there is some element, certainly, of hachra as well. Maybe b'toras chachmei hamesor, as I said, you know, it's hard to know whether what the Rambam describes in Hilchos Mamrim are distinctive roles, although surely that it's not coincidental that these distinctive roles are being, you know, that they're the best people to implement all these roles. I think more likely is that while they're somewhat distinctive, they're also somewhat overlapping. And in this particular case, when it comes to questions of Parhal and Davar Shel Tzibur, or, you know, Supreme Court, you know, on the theory side of things, especially, that, you know, their status as Chachmei HaMesorah and representatives of Klal Yisrael, you know, are merged with their Supreme Court, status. In any case, putting all this together, I think it's an interesting, the idea of that there has to be kol, or at least an exaggerated rov. The idea that there can be, even though we paskin ayin aleph, that there can be also a chalos bezdin of 100 in certain conditions, which is not a bezdin notev, may point to, again, a very acute dialectic in bezdin hagadol itself. And that is that on the one hand, the need for like a uniform mishpat echad yelachem, something that represents, right, the total consensus view of Klal Yisrael is even greater in one respect. But in the other respect, because it's being done, at least in an overlapping way, b'toras the consensus of Chachmei HaMesorah, so the idea of having diversity and disagreement also plays a more prominent role. It's just like you want to have Shakla Vitaria and Maso Matan in a regular Din Torah. In a way, among Chachmei HaMesorah in the discussion of the topic, you want that even more. That's the whole point, is that you have, you know, within reason, of course, legitimate views of, you know, as the Aruch HaShulchan notes in the beginning of Kosher Mishpat, you know, you don't want your symphony to turn into a cacophony. So, you know, the variations, you know, being led by the conductor, you know, have to, you know, be within reason. But, you know, within that, you know, range, the disagreement is very much a part of Torah Shebaal Peh as a sensibility, as we've been discussing. And it enriches, you know, the Chefetz Shel Torah, And in the end of the day, it also enriches, if it's a proper discussion, that yet has the ability, you know, to lead to a decision, it also enhances psak. So in a certain sense, you need and want greater, unanimous, conclusion for the sake of Klal Yisrael and also, pivotal decision-making, trying to simulate, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't schizophrenic, Chalila. He was, a single person, a single individual who, came to certain conclusions. But at the same time, in the process of doing that and in the repository of the totality, including the range, the legitimate range of Torah, Shebal Peh and Mesorah, you also want that other... So I think that's why in Bezen HaGadol you get both of these things. The need for Kulo, or Rubo Kekulo, or Rubo Mitoch Kulo, or Rubo only opposed by Shtika in certain cases. But at the same time, you also... don't necessarily, as we discussed, have a Bezdin Nota, or need a Bezdin Nota. Moreover, part of that is the fact that the Miut, Dafka, in Bezdin HaGadol, is more Ke'isa than it is in other Batei Dinim, because it's still Chafsa Shel Torah. In Beis Shammai, we don't pass like Beis Shammai, and we don't paskin, let's say, like Abaya, except for Yal Kagam, or Rabba and Rav Yosef, but, as the Rav always used to say, in terms of Chafsa Shel Torah, you make the same Berachas HaTorah, no one will tell you that if you spend, all day, analyzing Shitas Beis Shammai, the Netziv calls it in his Akdama to the Shiltos, Kidmas HaEmek, or HaTorah. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's the same idea, meaning these are all part of Chafsa Shel Torah. So the idea that, you would say, there's a Rov, and therefore there's Ruba Kekulo, and therefore the other Shita, as we'll discuss, Tosis language in Bava Kama, is Batel Kemisha Eino, that just isn't true. It might be true on a Mishpat Echad Yelachem Psak. I once pointed out, I think it's correct. It's an interesting irony. People don't realize this, but the more you argue that there is a legitimacy to diverse, within the range, diverse positions, of Elu ve'Elu, so the more decisive, in a way, in a certain way, Psak Halacha is. People think that it's the opposite. The reason people think the opposite is they say, if there's more than one truth, more than one Chafsa Shel Torah, so in one sense, it's much more difficult, to have Psak. But in a way, if you acknowledge that Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim within reason, then the process which produces a decisive Psak Halacha is even more decisive, because it's very process-oriented. That's why there's no tolerance for the Zaken Mamre. I mean, the Zaken Mamre starts off as a conscientious objector, and somebody who, in the beginning at least, is very admirable, because he doesn't want to give in. He thinks he's fighting for Kavod HaTorah Hudoresh. And that's totally fine. And he's a maverick, but he's not giving in to the pressure because, he's motivated by the pursuit of truth and Kavod Shamayim. And the point is that he has a lot of avenues, and in Chafsa Shel Torah, he might even, assuming his position isn't just idiosyncratic, we'll talk about those too, but, in the end of the day, that's all fine and good in the Beis Medrash. But if he refuses to give in to the process, which is a vadai way of properly, mishpat echad yelachem shelo yu kashei toros, so we don't say, he's a super admirable, pursuer of truth, conscientious objector. Nabuch, we have to kill him for the sake of the system, but, let's really put him on a pedestal. I think that's totally wrong. And Chazal felt that was totally wrong. Because in the end of the day, part of being, committed to the system is being committed to the rules of the system and fighting, your conscientious objection battle properly. And if you don't, then Iglai Milsala Mafreya, that it's a lot about ego and it's not so much about Torah. And then the person isn't just a danger to the system and he's lost a little of his luster, as a maverick, romanticist, pursuer of the truth, But in the end of the day, he, you know, has been exposed, you know, to be somebody who l'kvod atzmo hu doresh, and who doesn't respect really the rules of the system. And it's like almost like a kol amosif, you know, goreya kind of a thing, as I think we discussed in the past. So if you look at the psukim, you know, it's not, you know, mosif, lo sigra and lo sosif are not opposites, they're the same. And that emerges from the trump, and it emerges from the rishonim as well, meaning if you're mosif, then basically you're not working within the system, and it's not the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah anymore. And that's kol amosif goreya. So that's true about the Zaken Mamre, as well. So the more you think Elu Velu is a factor, you know, the more in a way Psak Halacha, when it's done according to the methodology, when you have a Bezna Gadol and so on, I'm not talking about Bismanenu, it's still much more tricky. Becomes more decisive, not less decisive, and that I say is an important relationship. But in terms of throwing the full book at him, the Meiri thinks that it has to be that his position is totally unacceptable. It's interesting, again, another echo. You know, the Mari Beirav, you know, wanted to explain why the, why would it be so that Parhalim Davrishol Tzibor would require kol, let's say, or at least shtika on the other side, but not anything else, and from his point of view, not even something like the Chiddush HaSmicha. So, you know, again, in this exchange back and forth, which is really, really fascinating, so one of the suggestions he makes is, he says, because if there's even one of the Chachmei, you know, Bezen Hagadol, you know, in who paskins otherwise, then every single person who eats or does whatever on the basis of the improper psak of Bezen Hagadol, in a way, should be held accountable because it should be machmir. You know, because in a way he was toa b'shikol hadas. So that's very fascinating, of course. And that is an incredible testament from the Mari Beirav's point of view, you know, to, I guess, the role of Elu Ve'elu, you know. Again, you're not supposed to do that, obviously, but in terms of, you know, removing it from the collective or corporate Klal Yisrael, you know, part of the portfolio. The Rabach is equally strong in rejecting that. The Rabach said that, I don't understand that at all. That's against the whole yesod of, you know, how we are machria. So, you know, it may sound like, you know, good frumkeit, one of them is, or five of them, or whatever it is, oppose. So, in a way, you followed the wrong poskim. But maybe that isn't true at all. The only, you know, in psak halacha thing that matters in the end of the day, if it was on the basis of rov, is rov. And therefore, he suggests that this is based on Klal Yisrael or Chachmim, so the other things that we discussed. But it's a very interesting kind of an issue. So going back to our point, the idea of not having a Bezen Shokol, and the idea that perhaps you don't even apply in certain dinim, whether it's Zaken Mamre, possibly Parlam Dovr Shol Tzibor, again, the Chiddush HaSmicha is not about Bezen HaGadol, but it's about, you know, a convention, a convocation of Chachmei Yisrael, the idea that you require kol, or rov mitoch hakol, on the one hand, is an outlet of, like, say, simulating Moshe Rabbeinu, or the interests of all Klal Yisrael, or, you know, or the totality of the corporate Mesorah, etc. But at the same time, the idea that the miut mitoch hakol is not simply command delesa, that is a testament to the fact that in the context of Bezna Gadol, which is about the discussions of Chachmei HaMesorah, that Elu Ve'elu really is Divrei Elokim Chai. That's what I think is going on there. Okay, good. Now let's go back to Hataras Nadarim for a moment. So in Hataras Nadarim we saw that there's also a Machlokas HaRishonim, why we need Gimel, that's a sugya, the Rishonim in Balbasra, Daf Kuf Chaf Omid Beis, that Bali Tosa say Ein Bezdin Shakol, and they apply it in the same normal way, but that the Ramban had a different dais. So I just wanted to get that, I think that's the last thing that we're discussing, I just want to make that clearer. The Ramban has three deos, which I think are interesting. Can we get that on the, do we have it? Excellent. Thank you. So just the I think I said the first day and I got the numbers wrong. The what's interesting about the last day in the Ramban is Bali Tosis, right? The Ikaman to Amar, Rashe Trey, Eindez and Shakal will see Falim Echad, and then he disagrees. Vlese, Da Rashe Amato, Slomiater Klal, Vitzrich Lashbin and Biachid Bumcha. By the way, that in itself is a very interesting question. Let me talk about that for a second. The Sinsi Machlokas was shown whether you can use the words Rashe, whether it's extra or whether it's appropriate to use that for the Bezin Shel Gimel in Ataris Nadarim, and that's what Ramban is saying. What are you talking about? That's the source of Yachid Mumcha. So I think that the answer for other Rishonim might be, like, to what extent are the Gimel Hedyotos a substitution for Yachid Mumcha, or a different track completely, as we already discussed. The more you consider it a substitution, you might say, well, the same psukim can serve both functions. Okay, that's the last issue. The other two shitos are, the first one is, interesting, separate from the last, Kivin Shomer HaKosuv Rashi Hamatos, V'hichshir Kol Yisrael, Al-Korchok Zev Yachid V'Zev Yishlosha, Kedin Shar Dinim. Zod Shadikteik Ba, V'Shmul Amar Shnayim Shadonu Dineyem Din, Achanami Neima Shnayim, V'Lomatzinu Shomer Kei. So the first day up seems like the last day up, but this is again the subtle difference that we've been discussing, and that is the Ramban in the first day is not saying what Tosa says, which is the last day up, which is this is a direct din of Bezdin Nota, right, in Hataras Nadarin. What he's saying is the din of Bezdin Nota defines Chefta Shel Bezdin or Shame Bezdin generally. And because that part of the definition of Shem Bezdin, right, that applies equally to what we have in the Darim, whether that means it's a full Shem Bezdin or a different kind of Bezdin, etc. So that's different between 1 and 3. Agav, he then quotes his view, which is that Shnayim Shadonu Dineyem Din should apply, in theory, to Nadarim as well. And the Rashbam, of course, as we already discussed, that Kiyomar Shmuel Hachi Hani Mili Lishar Dini Maminis Avala Mishri Yisr Neder Love. And that's the way the Rajbam puts it, but in light of the fact that there's so much evidence that the Bezin of Gimel Hedyotos is not even a Bezin, but it's a Din of Rashi Matos, you might say the distinction is not so much between Dine Maminis and Yisr as much as it is between Din and Cheftashal Bezin, or more likely between Bezin and the substitution again for Yachid Mumcha. Okay. But then the middle sheet, of course, is V'ikad Mefarshi, Aaron Chad Banav Trey, Harekan Shlosha, V'chol Yisrok Sherim B'Shlosha. That's the sheet that I wanted to point out, which is, has nothing to do with regular Shem Bezdin, which is also Nota. It has nothing to do directly with being Bezdin Nota. It's a Din Bifnei Atzmo of Gimel Hedyotos. That's Ramban. The Rajba, Also, goes with Ramban's basic view. And he has like two separate, I think, limudim to explain that it's a separate din. He has two deos that it's a separate din. And the third din is that it's kishar mominus. I'm not sure if I gave you the Rajba to look at in Balbasra or not. Is it possible to get it for a second? Just to fill in the... Because I think in this topic, the way that you say this is very important, you know, for two reasons. Number one, for the scope of Bezin Nota, as we've been discussing, but also in terms of, understanding whether these dinim are Bezdin, a different type of Bezdin, not Bezdin at all, etc. Okay, anyway, it's not so much Mechudat. The Rajba just has two deos, two separate deos to make it separate. You can skip it. It doesn't really matter. Sorry. Okay. What about Shuma? Now let's discuss Shuma for a minute. So again, we know that what's the evidence in Shuma, Avram? nine and one. What's a 9 and 1?
9 coins and 1.
Yeah. So that's 10, and of course that is an even number. And the question is, what do you do with that? So that becomes an interesting issue. So Tosis and Megillah says what? About this? Tosa Megillah Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Did I bring it? Yeah.
Yes, wouldn't
Tosa Megillah does not answer this question. Tosa Megillah raises the question. Right? Do you have it there? Right. So he's assuming, number one, this is Dover Shomei B'Shikol Adas, which it is. I mean, it's an assessment. Right? But obviously he thinks this kind of an assessment also is something that requires a bezendota, which is quite interesting, as we'll soon see. And in addition, he does call it a bezdin. Now again, the Mishnah on Beis HaMidrash sounds like it's connected to bezdin in some way. But the question once again, is this a different kind of bezdin? Is it even really a bezdin? Right? Not so clear. What about Tosas and Erchin? Yud Tes Amud Beis? You have that? Okay, I have it, I think. Second. So Tosin Erchin also asks the question. Yeah, so there it's just a little bit, there's a little addition, correct? Ketanah Perkabit Sanhedrin, right? The Ikshar Ben Ochanan, Amayin Sarach Yosim Yasara. A habezdin shakul who, again he calls it a bezdin. B'chol milsa detluya besvara tzarech hechreya. Right? It sounds like otherwise. The fact that it's a bezdin per se doesn't require nota. Right? But the combination of being a bezdin and a davar hatzarech hechreya, that's what's important about this tosis. You need both things, it sounds like, according to Tosas. V'achanami korile bezdin, right? That's why he repeats point number one. Korile bezdin, at least. Ve'ein bezdin shoko mosifin aleim od echad v'heyur aleph shebechol bati dinim shomamon v'dinei nefashos amar ein bezdin shoko mosifin aleim od echad v'perakam of the Sanhedrin. So again, it would have been very easy to say, you know, well, that's because there, you know, there's a different kind of hakra. Right, Shuma is a kind of akhra, but it's not a right or wrong. It's not a chayav or a patur. Right, it's an assessment. And moreover, is this really comparable to a bezdin shel mamon and a bezdin shel nefashos? So on both levels, it's just interesting the way the Rabbi Chanan was the son of the Ri, one of the early Bali Tosas. So it's just interesting the way that Tosas and Erchin reports his question. Right, there are two requirements, you know, that demand bezdin notev, right? Shame bezdin and svara, and the assumption that both of these apply in the case of this kind of shuba. Okay, what does the Rajba say, Avram? And Chav Gimel Beis and Megillah.
So he says that
you have language.
Yeah.
He's comparing, which is good for us also, shows we're on the right path, right? The sugya Rosh Hashanah Chafei Amud Beis about Kiddush HaChodesh. So what does he say? What does he say about Kiddush HaChodesh? I mean, he's assuming like Tosas in, doesn't say that in the Gemara, as we know. If you read the Rajba, you get the impression that it said that when he's quoting a Gemara, right? He's accepting the Bali Tosas view of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Go ahead. But he's contrasting, and I think we have to go back to the beginning again. But as opposed, and what's the story? So why not here? He does give an answer, right? So meaning that the Torah itself, you know, seems to tell you exactly what you need. As opposed to Kiddush HaChodesh, where it does say that they spoke to Moshe and Aaron, right? But that doesn't give the impression that this is the number or it's exclusive in terms of the actual performance of Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay. But since that is the impression, so that's how we know it. But then you still have to explain just knowing how we know it doesn't explain how it fits in. So you could say, you know, some people, you know, have this, you know, oh, it's a Gzeres HaKasuv. And sometimes you have to say that, right? But the Rishonim didn't want to say that when they didn't have to. This is an important methodological point, but not for now, right? Right? So he does say, this is how we know that it's so. Now let's reconstruct and figure out what the implication is. So what did he say about that? So, I say both the methodological point, it's not enough to know that it is so. We also still want to explain or need to explain why it is different. We just wouldn't have known this difference was sufficient or to accentuate it if not for the Gzeres HaKasuv. Right? That's an interesting window, right? But what is the difference, in fact? So is this a distinction, and what's not 100% clear in the Rajba is this his way of saying, unlike Tosfos Rabbi Kahneman and so on, this is not din, and it's not a bezdin. It's a panel, or it's a bezdin that, you know, that is you know, doing a haracha, but not, it's not a din, right? Or is he saying something about the nature, now is he saying something about the nature of the bezdin, or is he saying something about the nature of what the bezdin is doing? Is it the point that it's not a bezdin, or the point that shuma is not din, and therefore shuma doesn't require, nafkamina being, is the din of bezdin nota din of the bezdin, or is it really a din of the din? Right? We were saying all along that maybe the din of bezdin nota is a din in the chafzah shel bezdin, the shame bezdin, maybe because of the unit aspect of it, or the independence, or the hechleti, you know, aspect of it, the decisiveness component. Or no, it's just a din in din. So is he saying it isn't a bezdin? What's the language again? It's hard to know. Does he mean it's not a bezdin, or does he mean that shuma is not din? Hard to know. What about the ritva? I also told you to look at that, right?
So he also asks, what about Gemara Rosh Hashanah? And he says, the time of Davar Shahar,
the same answer as the Rashba. They said, ah, that's different, right? Or that's an addition. So what is he saying?
Much more pragmatic.
Much more pragmatic. People are not likely to debate about Shuma, and if they are, they're still likely to be able to resolve their differences, right? I mean, you could have said, oh, it's a difference between 10 and 3, but then you don't want to say that because of the 23 and the 71. You know, in other cases. So it's not the numbers, it's what they're trying to come up with. Putting your heads together to figure out a shuma is not likely to be as contentious as a din. But he's not saying that it's not a bezdin, or that point is irrelevant. For him, and it's not so clear at all that this is true for the Rajba, I mean, the Rajba seems between din and shuma. He's mechalek between, and that could be bezdin and this, you know, panel. For him, it's clearly that shuma, but even then it isn't fundamentally a difference between din and shuma. It's that shuma, in, you know, in large majority of cases, is not a contentious thing. And that sounds also like what he says in Rosh Hashanah, that I didn't think I gave it to you, but I just checked it out. Rosh Hashanah Chafei Amud Beis, he also says that yud people should be enough l'dayek the shuma. If anybody just has the language very quickly. Yeah, they can do the job. So it's very pragmatic. Again, why is this all important? A, in defining these different panels. B, in what? Why do you really need a bezinota? Do you need it for the chefzah shel bezdin, and therefore you're going to look at different types of bezin? Do you need it for the din? You know, what do you need it exactly for? Oh, so here's where did we find it in the Beis HaLevi in the end or not? I just didn't get a chance to look, but no. So I've seen it in the Beis HaLevi, but Yonatan tells me that the footnotes of the Ritva, which Ritva? The one in
Megillah.
In Megillah, quotes the same idea in the name of Rav Elbel.
Yeah. It says, and they don't bring it before, just
the Piyashmah. Oh, okay. I've seen it in the Beis HaLevi. Anyways, the Beis HaLevi, or the, you know, or his, you know, grandson, somebody in the family came up with the following very fascinating idea, which is, Yonatan? To explain the Rajba.
Yeah. To explain the whole Shuma issue.
Right. But I think he was trying to explain the Rajba specifically, right? Maybe? No? That's what I thought the Beis Levi was saying. But I'll try to find it. Go ahead.
That there's no din of Bezdin Shakel / Bezdin Nota, no problem of Bezdin Shakel when it comes to Shuma, because everyone can say different things anyway.
Right, there aren't two choices in Shuma. In other words, in Din, there are two choices. Right, Chayev or Potter, mostly. I'm not saying in all cases. Right? So when you build in an odd number, right, you're going to get a decision. But when it comes to Shuma, Shuma's a haracha. You could have, you know, as many dayanim as, you know, it's like the Jews and the minyanim, you know, or the shuls, whatever they call it, you know. So, you know, the whatever. So, yeah. So the, that's maybe the pshat in the Raj. That's almost the opposite of the Ritva. I mean, the Ritva was saying, I'm not sure if it's a pshat in the Rajva either, but the Ritva was saying basically, it's Shuma, so, you know, you don't need an odd number to be able to accomplish that. Right? I guess, the Ritva was taking the optimistic approach, you know, of, you know, people, you know, working together and coming up with a consensus. It sounds like the Beis Halevi was taking the more contentious approach, you know. You could have, in theory, I don't really mean that, you know, in theory, you could have more than two choices. And once that's the case, Bezdin Nota doesn't help you. Yeah?
So what would basically be saying? Do we take the averages of everybody's approximations, or are we taking three?
Hard to know.
One price?
Hard to know. Or maybe in the end it still goes by Rove, you know, if they can get Rove. But actually the Ritva says that if you can't work it out, then Mosifim Aleihem, right? So it's very interesting, but it's a very fascinating idea. Anyways, I don't think, again, I remember this Beis Halevi, this is what he says. Does he quote the Beis Halevi connected to Pshara also or not? Oh, okay, good. So let me add that. The Gemara on Vav Mod Aleph, yeah.
So it's interesting because the Ramban in Gittin, reported yesterday, I'm not sure if he quoted this line, but he ties in Bezdin Shakel to specifically cases of Chiyuv Ptur.
Say it again?
V'chol Melsa, the Chiyuv Ptur in Bezdin Shakel.
I mean, he says Chiyuv Ptur, the language you're saying, works nicely in the Beis Halevi too. Very good. Because there is Maso Matan. This is like an interesting test case, because obviously there's Maso Matan in this case. Like Tosas said in Erechin, it's Milsa de Toli Besvara, or Tosas and Megillah, there is Maso Matan, but, as opposed to a Maisa Bezdin, let's say, but there's not just two options. So that's what's very, yeah.
Right, which makes it more interesting. The Rashman Gittin actually veers from the language of the Ramban. He doesn't use the language of the Uptur, but rather says
Maso Matan.
Exactly.
Yeah, that the Ran also. The Ran and the Rajba in Gittin say it depends on Maso Matan. The Ramban says it's Chiyuv Ptur. But I wasn't sure in the Ramban, did he mean in terms of, you know, decisiveness, or did he mean to contrast Bittul, Haget, and Prusbul and say, well, they're not really Din. That's the other possibility in the Ramban. Whereas the Rajba made it clear that it's about, you know, not how we look at the Bezdin or what it's involved in, but what it's doing, what it's accomplishing. But it's a good point. Thank you. Yeah.
For the Ritva's chilek, is it possible to interpret it as a fundamental chilek in which cases need a more decisive base and which ones can have an indecisive base and they fix it if they need to?
I don't think the Ritva himself means that, but I think one could say that. In other words, is it acceptable, what Yossi is saying is it acceptable to go into a Din Torah, you know, with, you know, needing to have like a backup plan of Mosif Aleihem Dayanim? So let's just say it this way. There's an added assumption, I like your point, there's an added assumption in the Rajba, and that is, that's what we said about the Rajba, in the Ritva, is correct. And there's an added assumption in the Ritva, too, and that is that, al kol tzarasha lo tavo, you know, in our back pocket, you know, we have another, you know, mechanism, you know, to apply here. And that's Mosif and Aleihem Adayanim. And one could argue with the Ritva, even if you accepted the other part of it, you know, from that perspective as well. Namely, that Bezdin has to be, you have to have a structure of Bezdin that is self-sufficient. That's part of it being a closed unit or decisive. If you're going to rely on the fact that, you know, that maybe it won't work and you'll be Mosif Aleihem Adayanim, Right, that isn't a din of bezin. Much in the same way, although I'm not saying you can't be mechalik between them. You know, we talked about edus and other things that, you know, if it depends on other additional elements, so you know, it's not edus anymore. Right. So what Yosef's saying is maybe that gufa is something that only works in a kind of a shuma bezdin. But where you're talking about chiyuv and ptur, or even a maisa bezdin, maybe that, you know, self-sufficiency and decisiveness and the inability to rely on mosifim, you know, would be even more true. Although we don't know that the Rajma would hold that way, but it is a very good additional point. I like it. Thank you. Shkach. Now, pshara, very quickly. So what do I want to say about pshara? I gave you the things to look at pshara or not?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the context in pshara? What's the Gemara there about? Sorry. So the Gemara in Hamad Beis. Oh, thank you. Right. That was the key, right?
Yeah.
Jonathan, if you don't mind. What's the Gemara talking about in Hamad Beis? Shmuel. Gufam or Shmuel? Yeah?
So.
Gufam or Shmuel? Shnaim Shadanu Dineim Din. What?
Should I just read it?
You could paraphrase till we get we, but if you, but you have to do a good job of paraphrasing. Whatever's easier for you.
Pretty much talks about how in Pshara.
So you're courageous in doing the paraphrase. It says what?
Two is actually like Pshara, not just.
Yeah, so the Gemara here wants to say, the Gemara's talking about Shmuel. That's how we get into it, right? Shnaim Shadanu Dineim Din. Does it work or not work? Gemara's trying to bring Raya's back and forth. The Eni Odei Yosifa Dayanim, by the way, which we just talked about, is something that we'll talk about also very soon. Right? So the Gemara says, maybe we should bring a Raya from Rav Shimon Gamliel, who said, Din B'Shlosha and Pshar B'Shnai. Right? Jonathan?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, Yafa Koach Pshara Mikoach Adin, because Shnayim Shadanu is no good, and Shnayim Dayanim in Pshara is good. Right? Good. So then the Gemara says on Vav Amud Aleph, what does the Gemara say about this? No. Why not? Not a raya. Why? Lemek Tanoi, the Gemara says, Bitzua b'shlosha divrei amerech, hachom momin pshara b'yachid. Is it three? Do you need three or one? Right? So the Gemara says, Savrua de kulama makshin. Go ahead, read that part. Savrua de kulama makshin am pshar ledin.
Savrua de kulama makshin am pshar ledin. My love, bahakami kalki. Marsav are din shloshu, marsav are din shnayim.
Yeah, meaning there's a machlokas, whether three or one. And that the Gemara says, well, it's probably makshin am pshar ledin. It's the same criteria. And the machlokas is whether or not we paskin like Shmuel, who said two. That's what the Gemara thought originally. Right? Now, when the Gemara says that, the Gemara obviously thinks that when Shmuel said two, he also meant one. Right? Jonathan?
Yeah.
And that's not so bad because the Gemara said that in our daf too. Where? Where did the Gemara say that on our daf? Gimel and Aleph? I mean, our previous daf. We're way past that now. But we turned the page. Literally. Where does the Gemara say that in Gimel and Aleph also? Rabacha. Yeah. The Gemara says Rabacha made Rabika and Rava are going to be Talui on Shmuel and Rabavo. Right? And Rabacha made Rabika said one. So obviously, Shnaim Shadanu Dineim Din means even one. Okay, good. So, if it means one, so one and two is basically interchangeable. Good, fine. So then the Gemara says, low. It isn't based on makshin and pshar l'din and a machlokas and din. Go ahead. Yeah. The question is, the goof of the machlokas, whether makshin and pshar l'din. So then the Gemara adds, go ahead, lema t'lasa tanai, maybe there are three views. The pshara. Yeah. Okay. So that's the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, no. Why? Actually, that's interesting, right? V'temer Rav Yemer Bar Shlamya, man domar trei afilu chad, haidakomar trei kechid l'hav alei sahadi. Right? Good. Well, Pshar itself, of course, we'll discuss much more extensively when we get there. So there's an interesting Rashi here. Right? When Rashi says, man domar trei afilu b'chad, what does Rashi say? Afilu b'chad mikshar. You have it, Jonathan?
Yeah, mikshar dekevan de lo makshinan lei din mali trei mali chad. Like, once you're not having the, once you don't have the requirement of three, then you're just throwing the requirements of number out the window.
So then there's no difference between two and one. But what's the implication? That if we were makshinan pshar ledin, then we would equate, then we wouldn't equate two and one. Right? Oh. So the Marsha, did you see the Marsha? Marsha asked, did I give you the Marsha? Yeah. It's the Marsha. I say, I'm doubting myself all the time now because I've been shaken. You know, I'm just joking. So what does the Marsha ask? Jonathan? Either one? We went from Jonathan to Yonatan. Yeah? If we're Makshinim Pshar Ledin, then there could be a Shita that says two and not one. So the Marsha says, what are you talking about? You have it? What do you mean there's two and not one? If you're Makshinim Pshar Ledin. Because we know that Shmuel, we said before that Shmuel's even one, right? And we also said in Dav Gimel and Aleph that Shmuel's even one. So what's Rashi talking about? That if you're Makshinim Pshar Ledin, then you might say two, but not one. Where does that come from? So, the Marshal's question is based on the assumption that we're working with Shmuel, right? But, is that so obvious? Let's say we rejected Shmuel. Is it still possible that there's a Shita that says that Shnayim Shadanu Ein Dinei Amdin, that same Shita is saying, yeah, I mean, Shmuel holds you can get away with two and even one, we don't paskin like him. But when it comes to Pshara, of course, you can't get away with one because we don't paskin like Shmuel, but you could have two. That's what bothers the Marsha, probably also, right? He's asking within Shmuel. What I'm suggesting is, maybe we're not dealing with Shmuel, we're rejecting Shmuel, but then the same problem. If we're rejecting Shmuel, then how do you explain Makshinim Pshara Ledin, but it's two? So what's the answer? Maybe. Maybe in Pshara, there's no din of Bezdin Nota. Is that me? It is me. Why? So this is an interesting question, which we'll get back to when we get to Pshara. Is Pshara like din completely, or is Pshara a little bit like Shuma? Right, what happens in Pshara? Pshara, there are only two possibilities? Right? So in general, of course, we need to ask a more basic question, which we're going to discuss extensively when we get to Pshara, but we've already touched on it. Right? You know, Pshara is Shalom, and it's the suspension of Din for the sake of Shalom, and the content is totally flexible, and it's goal-oriented, it's objective Shalom. Right, the appeasement of the Balei Dinim, what's better for them in terms of, you know, returning to a tranquil, you know, relationship, harmonious relationship. Or Pshara is a form of Din. Right? It's just, it's a more flexible, just like we said in the past, last year, you know, a couple of years before that, we mentioned it this year, right? Whenever, like, Hodas Baal Din Kemedim Dami, according to the Ksos, or Adam Neman Alatzmo Yoser Mimea Ish, or Shav Yinafshe Chaticha De Isura, right? If these aren't just his Chaybuyos, we said, oh, maybe they're forms of real Nemanus. But it's more, you don't have to worry about low plugs, you can be more flexible, because it's your, you don't have to worry about the total system. But you still have to apply the rules in a very basic way. Same question, right, the parallel question with regard to Pshara. Pshara is din, right? Just that, you know, there's a much more flexible, both procedurally and even in terms of options. It's not as absolute because it doesn't need to apply across all of time and all of space and all of cases and so on. Forget the space part, but our geography. Okay. So this is Big Machlokas, which we'll discuss there. Obviously, if there are any limitations in Pshara, you know, things that are inappropriate in Pshara, if there are rules that govern the handling of Pshara, and they're not pragmatic rules, or you could say sometimes some of the rules are, you know, this looks like a short-term recipe, you know, or formula for tranquility and future harmony, but, you know, it's, you know, there's a stealth, you know, discord component, you know, in it. So then it's not going to serve the goal of... I'm not talking about those situations. What I mean is, are there limits in the range and procedural limits also? Are there indications that this is a form of din? Just the makor itself, right? The makokos we've shown him exactly how to interpret the makoros, but, you know, tzedek tzedek tirdo, tzedek tishbot amisecha, you know, echad l'pshara, echad l'din, we'll discuss them. The Ramah, I think in particular, says that the whole tzedek tzedek tirdo, it's not tzedek tzedek tirdo of echad l'din v'echad l'pshara, it's tzedek tishbot amisecha l'din, and double tzedek, tzedek tzedek tirdov, l'pshara. Anyway, we'll discuss it when we get to it. If indeed pshara is really a form of din, and so then, you know, it becomes even more difficult to explain. So if makshinan pshara l'din, the Marsha is 100% right. But even then, since the flexibility, even as a form and a kiyum and din, right, is there, there aren't necessarily only two answers. And if there aren't only two answers, then possibly the din bez nota might not apply. On the other hand, if you think that bez nota is critical for lo plug reasons or for symbolic independence, decisiveness, integrated unitness, you know, of bez din, then maybe even a bez din of pshara, even if that's the case, would require... you know, the same kind of Bezenotev conclusion. Okay, so now let's begin, and we're going to end soon, as I said that we would. But let's begin at least the next part of the sugya. So the Gemara here says that here on Gimel Amud Beis that both in Dini Nefashos and in Dini Mamonis, you know, we go Basar Rov, you know, in the Psak of a Beis Din. So the question is, why do we do that? And we'll discuss some of the other Tosas in and Shaka Vitaria also, but for the moment, let's just get, you know, discuss this point. Why do we do that? After all, we have a rule of Ein Hocham B'Momen Achar Rov. So let's just discuss briefly at least you know, the background to all of this. We're not going to discuss the whole thing. Now we'll continue with this on Monday, but at least for the next 10 minutes or so, let's try to get some of the background. People have seen this already, hopefully? Yeah? Yair? Not yet? Okay, so then we'll do just a little of the background. How many people have seen these Makoros, at least the Tosim Bava Kama, Tosim Sanhedrin? That's it. The Kuntras HaSveikos. But the Tosasin at least. Okay, so let's just mention the two Tosasin. Everybody should have seen them, and the Kuntras HaSveikos, the Shef Shmaitza, the other things. Reb Chaim? Okay, so let's just get the two Tosasin in, and then we'll leave the rest for Monday. Okay. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tzadi Aleph, and Bava Kamach of Zayin Amud Beis seems to say that Ein Hochem B'Mamon Achar HaRov in Botzim Mechorel of Araya. The Gemara here says that Bein B'dinei Mamon is Bein B'dinei Nefashos. In the context of a Bezdin, we go Basar Rov. So that, of course, is a seems to be a stira, and the Bali Tosis, of course, you know, picked up on that, especially in two places, Tosis and Sanhedrin, Tosis and Bava Kamma. And they suggest two different answers. Let's at least get the answers on record. Okay. So what are the two answers? Yehuda, did you see it? We'll start with the local Tosis. Just read the local Tosis first. Dini Mamnis Lakol Shekain. Right. What does that mean? Maybe you can distinguish, Tosis is considering to distinguish between different types of rov. What's rov b'disa come on, what's rov b'dileisa come on? They're present. I mean, here you have the it's a present rov, as opposed to Rubid Leisa come on, where numerically, right, in a bigger population or globally, there's a rov, but that rov, you know, is not bifaneinu, right? And which is stronger, Rubid Isa come on, Rubid Leisa come on? Well, Tosa seems certainly to be saying that Rubid Isa come on is stronger. Most indications are that Rubid Isa come on is stronger. Here and there, we've noted this in the past, it seems like Rubid Leisa come on is sometimes stronger. How can you have conflicting evidence in such a matter? Well, it's a complicated question, right? Rubid Isa come on, you have the rov lefanecha, so it's not just theoretical, it's not abstract. All the factors in front of you tell you that this is a good example of the global. You're not just like, you know, projecting, you know, that your local is part of the global. So in that sense, you know, you need one less step. Since the rov is lefanecha, and that makes it more compelling. But at the same time, we also understand that when there's Ruba d'Isa come on, there's also Miuta d'Isa come on. So in a sense, ignoring the minority, you know, relying on the majority is easier to do in Ruba d'Isa come on. And ignoring the minority is also more difficult to do in Ruba d'Isa come on. So it could be that there are some issues, or for some issues, right, the capacity to rely on the rove is what's koveya. A more confident rove, or at least where you don't have to take that extra step to assume that local conditions also reflect larger conditions in terms of, you know, the application of rove, you know, you have one less step and therefore a more compelling application of rove. But where the problem is not so much to rely on the rove, it sounds like a telzer hakira, but it isn't. Or maybe it is, but telzer hakiras are good in some cases, right? And you know where the focus is not so much on the strength of the rov, but on the difficulty of even ignoring, you know, a miut which is omed lefanecha, you know, like the, you know, harei chaser lefanecha, you know, where you have something like that, then it's more of a problem because we know that there are exceptions right here. We can only rely on roves when we can think that, you know, not only is there a rove, but there's not even, you know, a miut lefanecha. Again, we've spoken a lot about these topics in the past, and, you know, in terms of the, you know, the question of leidas hasafek, we're going to speak about it more, also in this context, but the idea of saying there's no leidas hasafek, in other words, it's like, you know, the crossing of the street where accidents tragically sometimes happen, but, you know, you don't usually, as I said in the past, unless you're a brisker, you know, calculate, you know, the odds of getting to the other side before or as you're, you know, making the trip. We assume, you know, unless it's Queens Boulevard or I say there's a certain level of, you know, paranoia or hypochondria or whatever it is, that, you know, you're going to make it to the other side. You should be careful and you should look both ways, you know, before crossing and so on. But no one says, ah, you know, 95, 98, 99.6% chance. That's not how we look at it, right? When something terrible happens, chalila, you know, then, you know, we know that there is a miyun. So when it comes to relying on the rove, you know, that's one issue. When it comes to ignoring the miyut, that's another issue. So that's why if you look at Rishonim in different places, in the Sugyan Chulin, this comes up, Suyin Chulin on, what is it, Dafid Aleph, you know, talks about the Makor, Yud and Yud Aleph. How do you know they can rely on Chazakos? Then the Gemara says, how do you know they can rely on rogues? And then the Rashi in Chulin says that, you know, the Raya's only proved Rubadisa Kaman, or I'm sorry, Rubadilesa Kaman, but Kal V'chomer has two days, whether or not you need a separate Libud for Rubadisa Kaman, or Kal V'chomer, Rubadisa Kaman, Rubadilesa Kaman. But I say in some Sugyas, some Rishonim, and certainly some Achronim also, in some cases take the opposite view. So I think that, A, there's a machlokas, which one is stronger. In that machlokas, the predominant information and view is that Rubadisa Kaman is stronger than Rubadilesa Kaman. But again, without going into more details, if you ask me to navigate the evidence, I would say that where the focus is on eliminating any, you know, concern about the miut, you know, the miut being deniable, then Ruba De'isa Kaman is weaker. And, you know, where the focus is on the reliance that the rove isn't just theoretical, but it's concrete, then Ruba De'isa Kaman is stronger. Either way, what Tosis here is suggesting is in the direction of most Gemaras and most Rishonim, that is that Ruba De'isa is stronger than Ruba De'leisa, and maybe that would be a way to get out of this problem. Okay? But he says that can't be true. Why? Dabresh Perk Soramora, go ahead. Yeah, those two roves, right, Ruba Nashim Lites Yaldan, right, some women give birth early, but most do not. That's not a Ruba De'isa Kaman, that's a Ruba De'leisa Kaman, right? And Ruba De'inshi Ta'u Bibur De'archa, right, that's also a global, you know, it's not calculated by the population in front of you. It's a global rove. So we see that in Dine Nefashos, right, Azlinan, Basar, not only Ruba de Isa Kaman, but Ruba de Leisa Kaman. So that's not the answer, apparently. But given that Tosos is going in this direction, it's not surprising, right, that they end up saying, Yehuda, go ahead. Tzar Klomar. Yeah. So, they couldn't make the distinction between Ruba De'isa Kaman and Ruba De'leisa Kaman, but in the end of the day, they are saying there are different levels of rove. Ruba De'leradia, what's the case there, by the way?
You know? Buying an ox, sure.
Yeah. Do people buy oxes or for food, for a meal, or for work? Right, or for the zoo, or whatever it is, right? So that rove is a weaker rove than the rove of Sanhedrin. Okay, so in the spirit of Ruba De'isa, Ruba De'leisa, well, or maybe not, but okay, what does Tosis mean by this? So you didn't get a chance to look yet at how people interpret it, Shev Shmaitza, Kutsasveikos, no? Yes? No. Okay, so we'll leave it for a moment. But it's something about the quality of the rove. Is it the quality of the rove, the numbers? Meaning, is it a 90-10, like a muta, a muta nikar? Is that the issue? Likely? What? Who said could be? Could be. Or... just in terms of before what the other people say. Could be. Then you'd have to know what it really is, but okay. Right? You have to figure out also how many women, you know, what the percentages of early birth and how many people are, you know, Biki and Bikviya Diyarcha and, you know, Dayanim and so on. Dayanim, it's a 2/3 at least, right? It's got to be 60%, 66% is...
I mean, just... sheer breakdown of percentages, meaning like 66 versus 33%.
I'm saying if you want to say it's in the numbers and Ruba Laradja and those things are Rove Garua,
like
then they have to be, you know, less than 2/3, right?
Okay.
Well, it could be.
I don't mean that. I mean that it could be. I think the Bach points this out.
Ah.
That's a numbers consideration.
Well, the Bach has an interesting take. But for him, it's not the numbers. I thought the Bach's point is, unless I have my...
Bach's point is that...
that there's a conflicting rove.
Yeah.
Well, not just conflicting rove. It depends what you take as your rove.
Right.
The rove,
there's the rove animals that are bought, and there's the rove people who buy animals.
Are you viewing it first off?
But that's not numbers.
Is your rove the commodity that's traded, or the people?
Correct. That's totally not numbers, right?
Well, it is. I mean, he's saying it's a.
He's saying there are two conflicting roves. Rove the Bach Skiddush was rove shvarim are niknim l'radya. But so if you look at it from the animal's point of view, how likely was it this animal was, is part of the rove? But rove gavra buy for shchita. Just that people who buy for shchita buy one animal. People who buy l'radya buy 10 animals. So there are two conflicting roves here. Now that's a qualitative point. That's not a quantitative point.
Well, you're saying that the rove l'radya meaning
there are two roves. I wouldn't say that that's less. I would say it's not clear cut. Meaning, there's the question is which question are you asking? Are you asking about the heft of the animal, or are you asking about the person who bought it? So since those are two different questions, those are two different roves. They're conflicting roves. He's saying as opposed to Ein Hochem B'Manacha Rove, where there's a single rove. Here there's a conflict between two roves. And that muddies the water. But it's not about the numbers. Well, let me say it this way. You could have said it's about the numbers, but then you have to say that the number in Ruba L'Radya is the threshold is lower than 66 point whatever, percent. You could say, like the Bach, that it's about a conflict between rove. That's not about the numbers. That's how do you look at the case? We have that in a number of other cases as well. You could say something else. You have. It depends what question you're asking. If you're focusing on the animal, if you look at this animal and you say, what is likely the status of rove animals that are bought and sold l'radya. But if you ask about the owner, right, of the animal, most people who buy animals buy them for a meal. They don't buy them for, so they're conflicting roves.
So which question are we asking?
That's a question. So we obviously think that the better question. The question is, why is that true also? We obviously think that the predominant question, or the preeminent question, I'm sorry, is the question of the animals. But we don't dismiss, because we are saying it's a rove. We're just saying they in Hochem B'Mamanach are rove.
No, the Gemara's point seems to be that since this rove is indeterminate...
It's not indeterminate. That's not what the Gemara says.
We don't even know how to assess it.
The Gemara says, Ein Hochem B'Mamon Acharov, because Motzim Mechamero Levaraya.
Right.
Now we're trying to say... But why are we worried about Samotsa Mechaber Levaraya there and not here? So Tosa says, because that rove, even though it is a rove, it's a rove garua. The question is, why is it garua? It is still a rove. The Gemara doesn't say it's not a rove. The Gemara says, if the Gemara didn't think it was a rove, they wouldn't have said Motsa Mechaber Levaraya. Well, let me say it this way. In theory, if you say what the Bach says, then there could be, I agree with you, there could be another way to read the Gemara. And that is, we're saying Motsa Mechaber Levaraya, not because of Motsa Mechaber Levaraya per se, and the weakness of this rove, what we mean by Motsa Mechaber Levaraya is that there are two roves and there's a toss-up between roves. That's what you're saying.
Me?
That's what you just said for the Bach. But that's not how... You can't read that in Tosos. Tosos doesn't think that's a pshat. Tosos thinks... And the Gemara says...
The Bach is reading in Tosos.
Right, I'm saying it doesn't work. No. So since the Bach is reading in Tosos, that's not the way to read the Gemara according to the Bach. The way to read the Gemara according to the Bach is there is a preeminent rove here... There are two roves. The preeminent rove is the rove of the animals, which I think is logical. But since there is a conflicting rove, therefore, this is not a mishachnea, a compelling enough rove, and therefore we will say, not that we don't have a rove, but that we still have motzi mechabero olav arai. That's the pshat of the Bach in Tosas.
Another way of taking the Bach is simply that...
There isn't a rove at all. If you want...
It's not clear that's the right way to determine the problem.
Then you don't have a clear rove. You have roves in the opposite directions. You have one rove against another rove. That's not a Motzi Mechaber Levaraya problem.
When it's just arbitrarily picking one of the many ways of assessing
exactly.
The rove.
But that's not what Tosa says.
Don't follow rove and Mamanis at all.
Not in all Mamanis, where you have two roves.
Which is what Tosa here says. It's simply a way of saying that that's just an arbitrary rove. But you could easily affix the rove.
Okay, I think we're arguing about...
Go in the favor of the...
Okay, I think it ends up being mostly an argument of semantics. All I'm saying is the pashtus of Tosas, and I think the way the Bach reads Tosas, is not that it's a toss-up which rove to pick, therefore there's no rove, therefore there's motzim b'chivel avaraya. I think you could read the Gemara that way. I don't think the Bach is reading Tosas that way. I think the way the Bach is reading Tosas is there's a preeminent acknowledging that there are two roves, but that there's a preeminent rove. What we're saying is the presence of a second rove, although we're admitting that it's not preeminent, is sufficient to limit the rove in cases of motzi mechavero olav araya. Okay, these are two ways to read the Bach.
I think the logic that the alternative rove should undermine the preeminent rove?
Because it's still another factor here. I don't get it. In one case, you have only rove, and you have no other factor. In the other case, you have a preeminent rove against a weaker rove. So when you have a preeminent rove against a weaker rove, and you have motzim b'chivel levaraya, you can't overcome that. That's totally logical. You may not want to say that pshat in the Gemara, but that's a simple pshat of Tosas according to the Bach. But you look it up, you'll see. What's the other possibility? That it's in the numbers. Okay. Let's say it's 55-45, and this is, in the 60s, whatever the threshold is. What else? What other possibility presents itself, logically? Yeah?
Whether we transform the mute to whether it's like Rubo Kapulo that...
Well, that maybe is a result, but Tosas doesn't say that here. Tosas does say that where? You're 100% correct. Where does Tosas say that? In Bava Kamma. Right? We'll get to Tosas Bava Kamma in just a second. But that's 100%. Tosas Bava Kamma, I think that's the pshat. But Tosas here, it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like he's more... It sounds like Tosas here is saying that in principle, there is... But that's what's so important about this Tosas. In principle, there's no din of Ein Hocha B'mamon Achar Rov. Right, the Gemara says in a few places in Bava Kamma, Bava Basra, Ein Hocha B'mamon Achar Rov. So all the Rishonim and many of the Achronim said, oh, that's a yisod. When we have the exceptions, what do we do with that? Tosas in Sanhedrin is basically saying that there's no such rule as Ein Hochem B'Momen Achar Rov. It's just if you have a weak rov, then Ein Hochem B'Momen Achar Rov. But if you have a strong rov, the regular rule, the norm, is Hochem B'Momen Achar Rov. When you have a rov garua, like this one. Now, why is this a rov garua? Because the numbers are lower, it's possible, but then they have to be lower than I said. Or because on the side of motzim b'chaver levaraya, or weakening this rov, is the fact that there's another rov. And while this is the preeminent one, the other one still clouds the issues. But when you have only one rov, and hokam nachar rov. But what's another way, if you don't want to say the Bach? What's another difference here? Isa kamon, leisa kamon. That's what Tosas tried to say. We'll get back to that. The Kuntras Sveikos tries to bring that back, tries to rehabilitate that. Right? Because Ruba Laradja is Ruba Deleisa kamon. Ruba of our Gemara here in Sanhedrin. Again, Tosas rejected it in terms of distinguishing between Mamanus and the Pashos, but maybe there's a way to rehabilitate it. We'll see the Kuntras Sveikos. But what's another, the Shev Shmaitza way, actually, another way to distinguish qualitatively? Chai? Well, that could be the end result of what we're saying, what we call birur or hachra, which may be another way of saying leidas asafek. I think that there are three, I've said this in the past, that there are three ways to say it. Is rov, the rov used to say that, the question is rov, and most achronim say it this way, is rov machria or mevarer? And the rov thought that rov being what you just called raya, right? Rove being mevarer, he thought was the equivalent to not having a leida sasafek. Personally, in order to navigate some of the evidence, I think that there are three levels. One is rove is a machria, which means that basically we are not making any stand about the specifics in front of us, because we always know that, notwithstanding the existence of a rove, that there are always exceptions, there are always miyutim. But what we're saying is the Torah told us that when you find yourself in this kind of situation, there's a matir called, or a machria called, rov, meaning forget about what's sitting in front of you. The halacha allows you to avoid paralysis and deadlock to operate, to be matir, to paskin, based on the, to project based on the rove. So we're not making any truth claims about this, but lahalacha, prescriptively, we have the right to be matir. That's called hachra. Birur says, if you ask me, I'm taking the three now, that, you know, we look at the situation, we start off with a safek, but after having investigated the, or assessing, let's say, you know, the factors in front of us, we feel a sense of confidence, we project that we're able to resolve the safek satisfactorily, since it, not arbitrarily based on a rove, but we're assuming that the rove will apply here too, and therefore, we're mevarer, we treat it as if it's not a safek. The first perspective says it remains a safek, but it's mutter. But the shame safek, on some level, remains. This perspective says the rove is mevarer the safek. The third perspective, in my opinion, is that either the odds or the structure of the rove, or whatever, or the legal character of the rove, is such that al pidin, we discount the meal. We don't just say, oh, we're confident that we're solving this correctly. We're saying, in light of the factors, right, there's no safek. Now, that might be the result, but what is it about ruba laradia that would lead you to that? There still has to be a distinction. So the numbers make sense. The presence of another rove, you know, clouding the issue, even if it's not preeminent, makes sense. So if Schweitzer came up with a third one, I'll just tell you. Is this a natural rove or an artificial rove? Meaning, the rove of people, you know, giving birth, or you know, things of that sort. Certain things are just, you know, human nature, scientific processes. You know, a norm or a typical birth is a full term pregnancy. There are certain things that have to do with, you know, human nature. A rove tiv'i is one kind of a rove. Then there are artificial roves that are contingent upon people's, conduct in certain societies. I'm not saying that the natural rove can't sometimes be overridden by currents. That's also possible. That can be a complicating factor. But we understand that there are certain currents, whereas Ruba L'Radja, Ruba L'Zvina, Ruba L'Radja, Ruba L'Shchita, says the Shev Shmaitza, that's just totally artificial. Now, if that doesn't affect the numbers, here's where I'm trying to integrate what Shai said. If that doesn't, let's say the percentages are identical, right? Let me say this for both. The distinction between Ruba Disa Kamon, Ruba Delesa Kamon, which the Kuntzos Sveikos tries to rehabilitate, and the difference between a rove tiv'i, let's say, and a rove, we'll call it malachuti, you know, an artificial rove, or a you know, habit, you know, of a certain society, a social norm, rather than a intrinsic one, or one which is more, you know, part of human nature, let's say. It's sometimes difficult to figure those things out too, but assuming that the numbers of Ruba D'Isa and Ruba D'Leisa are the same, assuming that the numbers of Rov Tiv'i and Rov Malachuti, or you know, behavioral, you know, but not natural, social behavioral, are the same. So in the end of the day, what do we care? Right? That's where what Shai said comes into play. Because if we're talking about the difference between Hachra and Birur, or the difference between Birur and Leidus HaSafek, so if there were differences in the numbers, that would, of course, explain. Any difference in the numbers is going to work for everything. Like a 99% rove, or even a 90% rove, or even an 80% rove, as opposed to a 51-49 rove, or a 60-40 rove. Again, where you draw the line is a different question. But does that make sense that though that should play a role in terms of the power of the rove? Ad kama you have to be choshesh lemiuta. Whether you consider this to be a leidus hasafek, whether you consider it to be a birur, or is it only a hachra? Sure, that of course makes sense. But if this is not presented in terms of the numbers, but in terms of the quality of the rove, isa kaman, leisa kaman, like I said before. Isa kaman, okay, so there's a step that you don't have to worry about. I mean, your local situation is in keeping with, it's consistent with the global patterns. You don't need that extra step, right? Or this is a natural rove as opposed to an artificial, you know, rove, a social rove, a behavioral rove. So then, if the numbers aren't different, does it make sense to say, however, this is, these distinctions can figure into the difference between birur and achra, or lack of latus hasafek even in birur? Sure. Because that doesn't have to be only about the numbers. It's about the level of comfort or perception, you know, that these are legal categories, in other words, not just quantitative categories. So the distinction between isa kaman, leisa kaman, when the numbers are the same, it's all the same 70%. Or behavioral versus natural, you know, have to end up affecting this question of birur hachra and leisa hasafek. Like, it'll be very intriguing to figure out, will we always, according to these views, will we always say rubat isa kaman is better than rubat leisa kaman, even when the numbers are not equal but they're actually reverse? Let's say the rubat leisa kaman, or the artificial rove, is 70%. And let's say the rubat isa kaman, or the more objective, you know, natural rove, is 60% or 65%. Are we still going to say that, you know, the lesser numbers are more compelling than the greater numbers? Right? Maybe at a certain point, that combination, you know, becomes important. But it shows that the halacha is looking at this in a formalistic way, you know, not only in a mathematical, you know, probability way. Again, kol kavua kemachzal machza, especially if you think it's a didaraisa, is no different than any other rove. Right? The difference is all in how are we allowed to proceed, what both halachically, psychologically is what I mean, whether we have a right to ignore the miyun. Ikva isura, you know, which triggers an asham talui, and therefore is a qualitatively different kind of a safek, even when, you know, it's an equal safek or a rove, or for the Rambam, who thinks that, you know, in many cases, sveka daraisa, you know, lechumra is only a din d'rabbanan, but has to agree that ikva isura is daraisa, you know, those aren't necessarily, not at all actually, reflected by numbers. They are based on whether al-pidin, you have the right, you know, to be machria, or the right to ignore the minority. Okay, so that's in terms of Tosus in here in Ksuvus. In terms of Tosus in, and we'll expand on this. In terms of Tosus in Bava Kamma, right? Tosus has a different idea. What's the different idea? You mentioned it before. What's the idea that you mentioned before? That maybe the distinction is not between the quality of the rove. Actually, in Tosus in Bava Kamma, do you have the Tosus in Bava Kamma open? No? Tosus in Bava Kamma seems to take the opposite starting point. That's for Tosus in Sanhedrin, there's no din of ein holchem b'mamon achar rov. That's really the exception. The rule is holchem b'mamon achar rov. Now, we need to explain what's so terrible about Ruba L'Raja, but that's the exception. Right? But what about Tosus in Bava Kamma? Go ahead.
The question whether the mute is transformed.
Yeah, exactly. Tosin Bava Kamma seems to be going from exactly the opposite, correct, 100%, the opposite direction. Namely, in Achanami, there is a rule called Ein Hochim B'mamon Achar Harov. I'm going to stop in one more minute. Ein Hochim B'mamon Achar Harov. There is such a rule. The exception is not Bava Kamma and Bava Basra. The exception is Sanhedrin. Correct? Why? Go ahead. But it's a little tricky to read. Do you have it on the... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
Starting.
Tema. Go ahead. Do the whole thing.
I didn't see it yet, though.
I didn't see it yet? You came up with the answer on your own? What?
I think it was
Reb Chaim. Oh, Reb Chaim discusses it. I mean, you saw the Reb Chaim before you saw the Tosis.
A while ago.
Oh, okay. Is that a good thing or not? To see the Reb Chaim before you saw the Tosis. Well, on the one hand, it shows a thirst for Reb Chaim, which is very good.
Moshe and Aaron are brothers from the Gemara.
What?
Moshe and Aaron,
then you can read the Reb Chaim before the Tosis. I hear that. We'll have to ask Ellie if that's true. Is that true?
I think it only works for the Tosis.
I think that's what I'm really asking. Right?
Oh, no.
That's exactly what I was asking. 100%. Anyways, Kamashim ein holchem b'momenach haro. Yonatan, go ahead.
Tema matam ein holchem leisi b'kav v'chomer midin in nefashos. Can we compare kind of the Sanhedrin?
Right.
And v'rav Yoshi amaisi lebekav v'chomer midin in nefashos. Gemara matin in nefashos techamir yamar achmana zil basar rubad midin mamras tokol shekin. Filu ruba de lesa kamana tunim din in nefashos basar ruba kedamar resh pensar remarat.
Same as Artosis. But now, we, instead of the answer that we have in Artosis, we have an answer from the opposite degree, opposite side. Go ahead, Beit Shlomar.
Shlomar dehasam gavei dayanim shayni dechashiv miyot didhu kimi sheena. Velekel neimar hasam ukim one mecheskas mari da bezdin mafki minei.
So the rule is ein hocha b'mamonach harov, right? The exception is dayanim in Sanhedrin. But Tosa says two things, and we're not sure, are they two things or one thing? And if they're one thing, should we be reading the Seifa in light of the Reisha or the Reisha in light of the Seifa? What are the two things? One that you said before, namely? That the miut in Sanhedrin is kamandalesa. Why is that true? And the other one is? That there's no problem of motzim mechaver levaraya, because since it's bezdin, bekocham lahafkir mamon, lafkui mamona. So are these two different points? Namely, the only time we're ever going to say hocham mamon acharov is if the miut is kamandalesa and there's no motzim mechaver levaraya. If there's no motzim mechaver levaraya, why do you need the miut to be kamandalesa? Right? Are these two points or one point? And if they're two points, what are we really saying? Are we saying that we treat the miut kamandalesa and we don't say motzim mechaver levaraya because there's no problem motzim mechaver levaraya because bezin has the koach of hefker bezin hefker? So what do we care about the cheskas mamon? Cheskas mamon is not an obstacle to bezin. That would be reading the reisha, right, in light of the seifa. Or are we saying the opposite? Are we saying the miut is kamandalesa, and therefore there's really no din at all of motzim mechaver levaraya because there's no miut, right? And therefore Bezdin just, you know, can go about their business and paskin, and the result is you're going to be motzi mamon. Very hard to read this Tosus, so it's not surprising that different mefarshim read Tosus differently. Okay? So just to sum up, and we'll stop here for the moment, Tosus and Sanhedrin, Tosus and Bava Kamma ask the same question. The question is about the clash between Ein Hochem v'Mamonach HaRov and the implications of our sugya of Dayanim. Tosas in Sanhedrin says, basically, there is no such rule, contrary to the language of the Gemara, that Ein Hochem v'Mamonach HaRov, there's really no such rule. That's an exception. The real rule is Hochem v'Mamonach HaRov. And Sanhedrin is a typical case. And Shaini, the Gemara is in Bava Kamma, that they are a Rov Garua. Why are they a Rov Garua? So far, we've suggested three possible reasons. Either numerically, which is, you know, questionable whether it's true, but if it's true, it's understandable. Or it has to do with the fact that there is not a single rove there. There are conflicting roves, even though there's a preeminent rove. That's the idea of the Bach. Or because there's a difference between a natural rove, right, a more objective rove, and a more behavioral or a cultural or a factual rove, but one which isn't necessarily like intrinsically, you know, embedded in human nature or in nature. And then we also pointed out that the distinction between Ruba Disa Kamon, Ruba Delesa Kamon, and the distinction between rove artificial and rove natural, if it doesn't present itself in the numbers, and if it'll even apply when the numbers are contrary, must be interpreted in formal ways having to do with birur hakra'a and lack of leidus hasafek. But either way, Tosas in Sanhedrin is providing a certain perspective that basically hokem b'mamon acharon. Then we have Tosas in Baba Kama, who says exactly the opposite. The rule is ein hokem b'mamon acharov in Achanami. And that's interesting, right? You know, Tosas in Baba Kama is working on the Gemara of ein hokem b'mamon acharov. So they're saying that. I'm not saying that why, but it's just interesting. It's a good way to remember it. They think that's the rule. And they think the other Gemara is the exception. Why is it an exception? Tosa says two things, and we're not sure if they're two or one, and we're not sure why we need two, and we're not sure if they're one, which one is the main one. But Tosa makes two points. One is that the Miuta in Sanhedrin is Kamanda Lesa, and the other is that there's no problem Motzim Chavar Levaraya because Koach Bezdin Lahafkir Mamon. Okay. So we'll pick up with this and the other issues and the implications for Bezin Shel Gimel and Chaf Gimel and so on Monday in Yiddish session.
1 o'clock on Monday?
1 o'clock. Unless we decide we want to get in a little bit of the other, and then make a little more clarity, but let's leave it at 1 o'clock for that. Yes.